Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports. We are on AM 1550 KDCO, 94.1 FM in Denver, 96.9 in Boulder. I'm Joel Cantalamessa, and we've got a great show for you tonight. J.J. Avila is going to be joining us to talk about the CSU basketball program, this great season that he's had, the team has had, what's to come over here the final few weeks, all that good stuff. That is going to be a great conversation. I know you'll enjoy it, so stick around for that. And there's a lot going on with Colorado State athletics, from men's basketball to women's basketball. You got spring football coming up. So let's get down to it. We'll start with the Ram Roundup. The men's basketball team split their recent road trip, went on the road to San Diego State last Saturday, did not play all that great, got behind, tried to make a comeback, and just couldn't get back over the top. Didn't really make it much of a game. It looked like they were going to challenge there midway through the second half, but just couldn't get over the top. San Diego State played a fine game. It's always tough to play there. That's 12 straight losses for Colorado State at Viejas Arena there in San Diego. But they did come back and get one of the two, which was really what you needed to do, and that was at Fresno State Wednesday night. That was an 81-73 win in a game that basically CSU went wire to wire to win that game. They played very well, kept Fresno State at bay, shot very well early, jumped out to a nice lead, and then held on to it. Fresno State didn't really threaten realistically. They got back into the game a little bit. Rams had a double-digit lead for most of that game. We'll talk about the game with J.J. Avila coming up in the second segment here, but he and Stanton Kidd, as well as Joe Desiman, joined Daniel Bejarano in double figures in scoring. Bejarano led the team with 20 points. He also led all players with 8 rebounds and had a team-leading 4 assists, despite some foul trouble. And J.J. Avila had some foul trouble as well. J.J. had 16 points in the game. Was a bit of an off night for him, if you can believe that, at 16 points. But he struggled with foul trouble. He left the game with 10 minutes to go as he picked up his 4th foul. Eustace tried to hold him out as long as he could, but brought him back in with just under 5 minutes left and quickly picked up his 5th foul and was gone. Stanton Kidd had 11 points and 7 boards. Desmond had 14 points. And Larry Eustace called it a great win. Larry Eustace, in fact, even as the game started to get tight, had an unusually calm demeanor. Even during that rough patch late in the game when CSU started to turn the ball over, and in any other circumstance, you would have seen Eustace blow a gasket. But he stayed calm, kept coaching, had the team playing comfortable, had the team playing well. He made a comment after the game that it was nice to see that it was the opposing coach, which is Fresno State's Rodney Terry, get teed up in that game while Eustace did not. So that was a good chuckle on the post-game interview. As of Thursday, both Jerry Palm of CBS Sports and Joe Lunardi of ESPN.com have CSU as a 10 seed in the NCAA tournament. Palm has CSU facing Georgetown as that 10 seed, and Lunardi has them facing Indiana. Still a lack of respect for the Mountain West, though. Likely regular season champ San Diego State is projected as an 8 seed by both prognosticators. Palm doesn't think that the Mountain West will get a third team in, but Lunardi does have Boise State in as the last 4 team in. So that'd be good for the conference. To get 3 teams in during a down season would be a big step, because it's been a rough year for the Mountain West, to say the least. Boise State did look great on the road later that night at UNLV Wednesday. That was a night when all of Las Vegas was honoring the late Jerry Tarkanian, who passed away earlier this week. And Thomas and Mack Center seemed to be rocking. Looked like UNLV was motivated to come out and win that home game, and Boise State just played very well, played well defensively, made a lot of baskets when it counted, and pulled out a convincing victory, and that really helps bolster their resume to go on the road and get that win. Now, for Colorado State, they are in pretty good shape right now as a top 30 RPI, and you've got 22 wins. Larry Stacey told the Colorado, and he's not sure what kind of wiggle room that they have. He felt that they have to win their final home games and then one of their last 2 road games, and then he'll feel safe going into the Mountain West tournament. But CSU's got a chance to finish 26-5 if they win out their final 4 games, or 25-6 if they happen to stumble. You know, then they own a top 40 RPI. It's gonna drop a little bit because they're gonna face Air Force, they're gonna face Nevada, they're gonna face San Jose State. So they're gonna drop a little bit, but still probably retain a top 40-ish RPI. And they have a chance to add more wins via the Mountain West tournament, which is just 19 days away. So a 25-26 wins and a top 40 RPI, you're in. So you just can't stumble here and lose a game you're not supposed to against Air Force at home, Nevada on the road, San Jose State at home, which will not happen. But those two home games left. Air Force is Saturday afternoon. That's a 4 p.m. tip-off on Root Sports. And then next Wednesday, they host San Jose State. That'll be senior night. That game's televised only via the web on the Mountain West Network. I really encourage you to get out and support this team in the final two home games of the year. It's one of the best teams in school history. 27 games in, this is ties for the best mark ever for Colorado State University. They'll finish on the road at Nevada next Wednesday, and then at Utah State next Saturday. What a doozy that's going to be. That's Stu Morrill's final game, barring them making the postseason. But Utah State, at an RPI of 154, is the strongest remaining opponent, and that's March 7th. So if you can win out, you're sitting in good shape. You could probably improve your seed a little bit, but I think you're in as long as you win three out of your last four. You're in comfortably, if you ask me. The women's basketball team is also in nice shape. They're coming off back-to-back home wins, one against San Diego State last weekend, and then against Fresno State, who held first place for much of this season on Wednesday night with a 70-56 beatdown. They are tied for first place in the Mountain West Conference with New Mexico. They are 19-6 overall, 11-3 in the Mountain West, with four games remaining. So they are poised to win their second consecutive regular season Mountain West title. Just amazing work by Ryan Williams. Interesting column by Matt Stevens in the Fort Collins, Colorado, and earlier this week, kind of lamenting the fact that Colorado State, the women's team, only averages 1,200 fans per game. And they pointed out that on any given night, that Moby Arena sits 86% empty on women's basketball home games. They've noted that only 24 people were in the student section on Wednesday, and one of them was Tony Frank. So the women's basketball, there's some history there. There's some history of good fan attendance there. I don't know what is going on. I really don't know if it's a marketing issue, if there's just a disconnect between the community and CSU lately, but it has been harder to get fans to games lately, even the men's games. And for Colorado State to only be averaging 1,255 fans a game, that's only 82 more fans per night than the 2007-2008 team that only won two games all year. So something is not drawing fans here. You know, the women's team plays a nice brand of basketball. They're up-tempo. They run. And they've got some very good athletes on that team. Tickets are only $6. So interesting column. Women's basketball is... it's going to be tough to be a huge sell in Fort Collins because there's so much to do. There's a lot of competing dollars for entertainment in this state. But you can do a lot better than 1,200 people per game, especially when you've got a team that's playing as good a basketball as this team is right now. CSU Golf tweeted out a pretty cool statistic earlier this week showing the Mountain West is the number three conference in terms of total earnings of former athletes now on tour. That ranks behind only the SEC and the ACC, and immediately ahead of the Big 12 and Pac-12. So that's pretty cool. These rankings that are put on by RivalsCup.com ranks collegiate golf programs on a weekly basis based on how their alumni have performed in terms of total earnings on the PGA Tour. Colorado State itself is ranked number 22 in the country at $882,000, which is obviously all Martin Laird, the 2004 CSU grad, and he's ranked number 17 in these rankings. In the FedEx Cup, he's ranked number 22. He started off the year very well so far. He's got three top 15 finishes since January, including his fifth place finish in the Phoenix Open a few weeks ago and a seventh place finish at the Farmers Insurance Open just a couple weeks ago. So he's playing some good golf, and that's great to see. It's good to see him represent Colorado State University. On a sad note, CSU lost a good one, passing of Gary Glick. Earlier this week, he died in hospice care at his home in Fort Collins. He was 84 years old. Gary Glick was the highest draft pick ever for Colorado State University, number one overall selection in the 1956 NFL draft. He played three seasons apiece in the NFL with the Steelers and the Redskins, and played one season with the Baltimore Colts. And there he set a franchise record with three interceptions in one game in 1961. Spent 1 year with the San Diego Chargers, and in 1992 was inducted into the College Sports Hall of Fame. So One of the best former student athletes in Colorado State history passes away this week. Spring football is just 18 days away. That is exciting. March 10th, spring practice will begin. They'll practice a few times before spring break, and then will return March 24th to complete the rest of their spring practices. They get 15 overall, and then that will include one practice in Denver, which is always a fun time. Last year, I believe, was at the Rapids Stadium, and the previous couple years were at Infinity Park in Glendale, which is a rugby stadium, and that was a really cool venue for it as well. But spring ball will culminate. It will end on April 18th in the annual Green and Gold Spring Game. CCU's got 15 starters back from last year's 10-3 season, so there are some spots to fill, some key spots to fill, and it'll be fun leading up to that. It'll be fun kind of analyzing what's going on in the spring, although it's going to be similar to watching spring ball just like it was under Jim McElwain. Practices will be closed to the public. So we're far removed from the days when Sonny Lubick would keep the gates open for anybody to walk in and watch practice. So we'll discuss a lot more spring football and what to watch with the CSU football team over the coming month. But another exciting note with CSU football is that they're going to have five guys at the NFL Combine. Well, sort of. Garrett Grayson, we just found out that he's ranked as the number three quarterback prospect available in the NFL draft by NFL media analyst Daniel Jeremiah. But he is going to have to wait till the Rams Pro Day to work out for scouts because he injured his hamstring a couple days ago and will not work out at the Combine, according to USA Today. He's rated the number four quarterback by CBS Sports, number five by NFL Network's Mike Maycock, and number six by ESPN. This is supposedly a thin draft at quarterback, so he's got a good chance to go relatively high. And Maycock told the Coloradoan earlier this week that he believes that Grayson is a guy that does everything very well, doesn't have a lot of elite traits, but he's a guy that can catch on and be a strong backup quarterback candidate in the NFL. And that's not a bad job to hold. Is you can stay in the league for a while, you can make a lot of money, and that is a great opportunity for Garrett Grayson if he can take advantage of it. You have Ty Sembrello, rated as the number seven offensive tackle in the draft by ESPN and CBS Sports. He's projected as a first or second round selection, so he's got the best opportunity to go high in the draft and be an impact player in the league. Another player that's going to be at the Combine is linebacker Aaron Davis. He's projected as a sixth or seventh round selection in the draft, rated the number 14 inside linebacker by ESPN and number 25 outside linebacker by CBS Sports. D. Hart is also invited to the Combine. He's rated the number 23 running back by ESPN and number 25 by CBS Sports. He's most likely going to be a free agent, has an outside chance as a seventh round selection, and he's known that going into this. He just wants to play football. If it's not in the NFL, he'll take a crack at the Canadian League, Indoor Arena League, whatever it takes. And then you got a couple other guys that are looking to get a shot in the NFL. Probably both are going to be free agent signees. Jared Roberts, the place kicker, he's rated the number four kicker by CBS Sports and number 11 by ESPN. And cornerback Bernard Blake, rated number 29 at cornerback by ESPN and number 32 by CBS Sports. He's got good wheels, so someone might give him a shot, but neither of those two guys are at the Combine. One last thing before we go to break, I want to note that Mike Bobo will make an appearance at the View House in Centennial for Xfinity Monday Live on Channel 4, hosted by Vic Lombardi. That's this Monday, February 23rd. He's going to be the main guest on Xfinity Monday Live. That show starts at 6:30 p.m. on Channel 4, but get there early, get a good seat, mingle with other Ram fans, get to see yourself possibly in the background on TV, get to hang out with Coach Bobo and interact with him during commercial breaks and after the show. It's a great opportunity for Ram fans to show up and spread the green and gold word on TV. So keep a mental note of that and get there to the View House Centennial Monday night at 6:30 for the Xfinity Monday Live with Mike Bobo. We got to go to break, but when we return, we are going to have JJ Avila. Great discussion coming up with him, so stay tuned. You're listening to Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports.